Well, it was all last Monday morning, the day been calm and fine. To the Harbour Grease excursion with the boys to have a time. And just before the sailor took a bag hang away from the pier, I saw some fella haul me wife on board of the Volunteer. Come on!
Oh me, oh my, I heard the old man cry. Oh me, oh my, I think I'm gonna die. Oh me, oh my, I heard the old man say, I wish I'd never taken this excursion around the bay.
Aboard a water splendid sight, met strong and regimental to make a serious fight. Had me something in the double for the funny things they say. They choke themselves from laughing when they see us in the back of our.
Oh me, oh my, I heard the old cry. Oh me, oh my, I think I'm gonna die. Oh me, oh my, I heard the old say, I wish I'd never taken this excursion around the bay.
Me wife, she got no better, oh, me wife, me darling dear. The screeches from her truly you could hear in Carbonear. I shot every place in...
Happy St. Paddy's Day, everybody. This is the Andy and Amanda Show. It's the Irish Day Talk Radio Show today, honorary St. Paddy. Did I tell you, Amanda, that I was Irish?
No, my darling, you didn't. That's a surprise to me.
I'm glad I didn't tell you I was, because I'm not. That would have been, you know, glad I didn't tell you that, you know? Happy St. Paddy's Day, everybody. Again, this is the Andy and Amanda Show. This is St. Paddy's Day 2021. And I hope everybody's having a glorious, beautiful day, afternoon, morning, night, whatever time of the day it is in your corner of the world. And welcome everybody on board our show. And, for all you podcast subscribers, we thank you very much and welcome. Thanks for your continued support and for tuning into our, whatever you want to call this, our podcast or our radio talk show. Our number here is 515-605-9888. You can get in on the conversation live now if you choose to for the next hour. We're just about an hour. And we love to talk about, almost maybe the next 5 minutes. You're welcome to but cancel that. Don't call in at all. Listen, we really don't want to hear from you, so forget that number I just gave you. It won't work. Listen, but you're free to join the show, folks. And there's some things going on in the world today. It is St. Paddy's Day. We've had another mass shooting in Atlanta, Georgia here. We'll talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about Joe Biden confronting Putin candidly on the phone. We're going to talk about CNN's drop in ratings since Trump is no longer in the headlines. Maybe a good thing. And we're also going to talk about a new documentary with Debbie Lovato, who said that she was raped as a teenager in this documentary that's coming out. It'll be interesting to see what she says. But anyway, and, you know, I think we spoke about this. As a matter of fact, we did in the last show that, you know, you hear these, I guess you want to call them celebrities. They are, I guess, celebrities. Who've had these tragic events happen in their lives and abuse and rapes and different things and were suicidal for a while but how about Jane Doe, who lives in the corner of Fifth and Bainbridge there somewhere in South Philly or whatever it might be, and who's not a celebrity, who also has had issues, who's been raped or who's been abused and who's had these issues. But I guess when celebrities, I'm just thinking out loud, folks.
When we think too much, in essence, we're filling our minds with impressive ideas which blatantly announce our intelligence to the world.
When celebrities talk about it, it kind of brings to the forefront the issue. I guess that's what the relevance is. Because then somebody who is not a celebrity, who's not in the news, who doesn't have a Grammy Award or Oscar, whatever it might be, who was taken advantage of at one point in your life, in whatever respect or aspect of the life that may have been, it brings to the forefront their issues and the plight that they have had, and brings those issues to the surface perhaps when people talk about them. And if anybody, John or Jane Doe on the street talked about them, it wouldn't make the news. But when a celebrity talks about them, it does make the news, and then it becomes an issue of concern. Then we all start talking about it. And I guess okay.
Now, to answer my own question.
I answered my own question. Yeah, but I guess round. Okay, here we go.
Round
and round. Yes, thank you, Andy. You're welcome. Very much. I appreciate that. Thank you for that philosophical discussion. But I guess what my point was, however long ago that may have been, that I don't want to take the relevance away from anybody in the world who's had issues and conflict and abuse or violations of their body and their mind, whoever they might be. And it's all important, not just important for celebrities, but important for all of us that we pay attention. And we reach out and help one another through these crises and these issues. And you know, we want everybody to be effective and happy as they can be in their life. And that's all I'm saying. That's all.
I agree with that. I agree.
So what's going on there? What's going on there in your corner of the globe?
You know, right now I'm sure everybody would be liking to hit the town, you know, head to the pubs to celebrate St. Patrick's Day and spread the love around with alcohol. But right now it's not so exciting. So, you know, I was going to cover Sarah Everard's murder in depth, and I know I discussed that on Monday's show and was insistent on doing it. No more has come to light at the moment as to what's happening with that, so I thought I would step away from that because COVID is all over the headlines again. So there has been some recent concerns here over the safety of the AstraZeneca vaccine. 13 countries in Europe had paused from using the vaccine after reports of people having blood clots. However, the amount of cases suggested that it's nothing to worry about, as there have been just 15 cases of deep vein thrombosis and 22 cases of pulmonary embolism. And so, like, this is out of 17 million vaccinations. So the statistics for that are this, that 0.88 deep vein thrombosis and 1.3 pulmonary embolisms, and that's for every million vaccines given. So, you know, the information that is lacking is that the investigations in Europe are focusing on a rare type of blood clot in the brain. So 3 cases from 10 million AstraZeneca vaccinations have been here in the UK and have been non-fatal, and apparently is a lower number than would be expected. So Germany seems to have a higher percentage than what is seen as a natural threshold. And although these things should be investigated, experts are still surprised and confused as to why the vaccinations have been put on hold. Because, again, the statistics are very, very, very low. And in their eyes, I guess it is nothing serious to worry about because there's been no fatalities. So that's that. So the government are trying to put pressure? No. Scrap that.
Erase that. Rewind. Three, two, one, and action.
Thank you. The government are trying to reassure people that work is always being done in terms of safety of the vaccine. And they're saying that the medicines and the healthcare regular... Andy, what is going on tonight?
God. Yeah, we've got some issues early on. Can't get two words up between us. Yes.
I know.
Yes.
This is crazy. Jeez.
Yeah.
The regulatory
the what? I know it's St. Patty's Day, but have you been hit the tilt a little early today? This happy hour there, isn't it? It's beyond.
Oh,
yes,
my
yes.
Goodness. Yeah,
that
I promise
explains
you, people,
it. I understand.
I have not had a drink yet. I plan to have one later, but just... Yeah.
see, you might say you're not having a drink, but we don't really know that you're not having a drink.
Yeah, maybe it's the thought of it. You know, I'm intoxicated by the thought of it, so, you know. Okay, so... The Medicines and Healthcare Regulatory Agency said everyone should take up the vaccine when they are offered it, and that the same advice is being given by the World Health Organization, European Medicines Agency, and endorsed by all 4 UK chief medical officers. So in this light, Wales Health Minister has had his first dose of the vaccine on Sunday. And our Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, has said he will be having his first dose very shortly, and he will be definitely having the AstraZeneca one. So I think both of those people being heads of the countries are just like, you know, guys, we're going to do it. So do not fear having this vaccine and all these, you know, fears of all these blood clot situations. Everything's going to be fine. You know, just get on board, get the vaccine, you're going to be fine. So... Mm-hmm. And there are also concerns about the virus picking up again in Wales after some places have had a flare-up again with the virus, and they have expressed that they will be coming out of lockdown gently because the virus will begin to circulate again, and so they want to make sure that people continue to be safe and cautious, still with social distancing and wearing masks normally, And in for indoor situations as well, social events, keeping indoor places well ventilated, you know, being safe and keeping things to a high standard. And keeping the rules to local, stay locally as in opposed to staying at home. So you can go out and do things, but just stay local, don't travel to other towns and cities and, you know, causing a spread. Wales will also be the first in the UK to open up three specialist pharmacy centres to relieve the pressure on our NHS system, which is National Health System here in the UK, and to help the hospitals by providing specialist medicines such as injectable systemic anti-cancer therapy, intravenous nutrition for people who can't absorb nutrients from foods they eat, etc.
Because I like cucumbers. I'm the only one. I like cucumbers.
Radio pharmaceuticals used in the diagnosis and treatment of cancers. So that's a great thing that they're providing this support, and we may see more of those pop up all over the UK. We're not sure yet, but I think 67 million is being invested into these places. Another 2 million people have been offered a vaccine. So everyone aged 50 and over now is being vaccinated. So again, the age groups now are coming down and down and down, and eventually, Andy, I'll get mine.
I don't know
when that's going to be, but I'll get mine eventually.
I believe they've opened up here quite a bit. I mean, they're everybody over the age of 16 is eligible to get or can. You know, the vaccines are being distributed and by tens of millions. Here it's over the age of 16. You can. I believe it's pretty much in effect nationwide. I'm not positive. Don't quote me, but I've heard that.
Okay.
I remember seeing the clip of that on the news myself, and it's over 16. I'm pretty sure I'm pretty accurate here. Again, we know how I don't like to dive into something that might not be true.
COVID vaccines available to anyone 16 or older.
You know, but it might. Yeah. But I heard. I did. I'm just want to. See, I don't know that to be true, but I heard that and some of you might also say, oh yeah, true, Andy, yeah, you're right on. I'm like, yeah, good. Well, thank you. Yeah, we all just say
right on.
Thank you. You heard it here on the Andy Mendez Show.
Yeah.
We don't report the news. We comment on the news and what we see and hear in the news. And I'm just commenting on what I think I saw. I think I saw it.
Now, science shows our memories and our powers of perception are far less reliable than we believe.
I think I heard it. Anyway. And I'm never too sure about what I say or think. No, we're here. You know, I don't know. Hey,
the scary thing, Andy, is we could see it on the internet and they may delete it. We'd look the fool, right?
Yeah. Hey, Joe Biden spoke on the phone with Vladimir Putin. And he confronted him point blank. And said,
I think I'd get along very well with Putin.
I got to know him very well because we were both on 60 Minutes. We were stablemates.
Putin did call me a genius, and he said, I'm the future of the Republican Party.
If he says great things about me, I'm going to say great things about him.
If we have a good relationship with Russia, believe me, that's a good thing.
I believe that he feels that he and Russia did not meddle in the election.
He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be.
President Putin, did you want President Trump to win the election? And did you direct any of your officials to help him do that?
Yes, I did.
It'd be great to get along with Russia, and we will get along with Russia.
We get along. I like Putin. He likes me. You know, we get along.
We know you meddled in the 2020 election. And we also want to let you know that there's going to be consequences to doing that.
Trump was in power for 4 years and never got anything.
On the phone, candidly.
Wow.
No crap. No, what a difference between one administration and the next. He also told Putin, and I'm not sure if this was in that phone conversation or previously, he told, you know, he had met Putin. You know, remember the guy was a senator for 36 years. He was vice president of the United States for 8 years.
That the United States will act firmly in defense of our national interests in response to malign actions by Russia.
President Biden pressed Putin on those malign actions, which were often downplayed by former President Trump, including Russia's ongoing aggression against Ukraine, the hack of U.S. government agencies, which intelligence officials suspect was the work of Russian hackers, although Russia denies it, reported Russian bounties on U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan, Russian interference in the 2020 election, and the poisoning and arrest of opposition leader Alexei Navalny, the Russian government describing the call as businesslike and frank, but making almost no mention of the many controversies raised by the U.S., all of it a stark contrast with former President Trump.
He's met Putin, right? Probably knows Putin better than Donald Trump ever did, obviously.
Yeah.
And he told him, you know, this is what he said to Putin, and my exact quote, but it's pretty much to it. When I look into your eyes, I see a man with no soul. He told Putin that. He told Putin to his eyes, to his face.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. And he said, you meddled in the election. We know you meddled in the election, and there's going to be consequences for you meddling in our election here.
So basically, yeah. Then the proverbial shit has hit the fan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll see. It's just great that we have and also Trump tries to have, you know, he's, you know, in a tantrum because he doesn't believe that he's getting credit for his vaccines. And
okay.
He said, we would not have the vaccines if it weren't for Donald Trump, which is the biggest. That's almost as big a line of crap as election being stolen. Yeah, they're on the same page.
He's suddenly changing his tune, isn't he? Because it was reported that he was encouraging people from a TV interview that he had, encouraging people to get vaccinated and that the vaccine was safe and something that works. That was his words. So it's kind of like, oh, don't worry about the vaccine. It's going to disappear. You don't have to worry about wearing a face mask. But hey, go get vaccinated anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's right. Yep, yep.
What a contradiction, Andy.
What's the name of the vaccine you have over there that we don't have here? not the Australopithecus. That was the origins of man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
The Astrobelt.
That one. Yeah. I heard they put a halt to that or something because they put a halt to it.
Yeah, that's what I was explaining a little earlier, sweetheart.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That the 13
countries
put the hold over it because of the whole situation. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's and I wanted to get in touch that again. Oh, so that what you're saying earlier.
Yeah.
So that is not. What are you doing there now? I mean, do you have the Moderna and the Johnson & Johnson or and any of these or the Pfizer vaccine there? You do, don't you?
Do you know what? I'm sure we purchased the orders of them because at the time, if you remember, we didn't have the AstraZeneca one straight away. Oxford came in, I think it was like second or third after.
Right.
The Pfizer one came first, definitely, and we purchased a great deal of that. I think it was something like 4 million vaccines or something like that they purchased. And so, yeah, we didn't have the AstraZeneca one straight away. So we would have been having the Pfizer one, sure, definitely. But I think the predominant one seems to be now the AstraZeneca one that's getting passed around.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that and the chemistry in the asteroid Zeneca is somewhat different than the and it works on a different plane. I mean, not different. It works on a different principle or different it's different. All right, it's different than the Modelo and the Pfizer. I mean, Moderna and the. Different than the Modelo and the Budweiser one. You know what I mean? Yeah, different than them.
The armadillo one.
It's different. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's different. Hey, Amanda, do you want to go on a cruise?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow. I'll meet you over there.
All right. Adios.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Bye.
Bye, guys. Take care.
Amanda and I have never met. We're suddenly going on a cruise together. I can't wait. I love it. Listen, in your neck of the woods over in the UK, the British Line cruises, P&O Cruises, it's owned by Carnival, I believe. P&O Cruises, you heard of them?
We have.
Okay. P&O Cruises, they've announced an offer to cruise to nowhere. You get on the boat, you have no idea where you're going. I love it. Can't wait. Yeah.
Wow.
We don't know if you're going home or not. They're going to take you somewhere. We don't know where. Anyway, it sounds kind of cool, actually. It's a cruise to nowhere. The voyages will depart in late June from from not far from you, Amanda, from the southern England port town of Southampton, and navigate navigate the UK coast. There will be no stop offs. Just you'll be able to admire the beauty and the ruggedness of the country's islands and the coastline from the ship. And exact routes. They don't even know where they're going. I mean, they're going to, minute by minute, according to the seas and the weather, they'll turn right, they'll turn left. They don't know. They're going to go.
Wow. They're just going to go with the flow. Wow.
It depends on what the weather forecast is for each cruise, and they're going to take the ships where it's warm and sunny.
That sounds really fascinating.
Yeah, Royal Caribbean is also planning a vaccinated passenger-only cruise for its new ship, Odyssey of the Seas, and they'll be departing from Israel in May to sail the Greek islands and Cyprus. And another one to follow suit is Virgin Voyages. Richard Branson, Virgin Airlines, Richard Branson's yet-to-be-inaugurated cruise line. You know, he's Virgin Air. I've never flown on Virgin. I heard it was quite the experience, Richard Branson's airline.
He really is quite a guy.
He sounds wonderful. He's up there with Elon Musk in my book. You know, he sounds just totally wonderful. I love how he operates and his philosophy
his story
of treating people.
His story is really, really cool. I mean, I think he's one of our proud British heritages, and I'm sure that people would be like, what? Come off it. No. But I see him that way. I just think he's done absolutely amazing for himself.
I'm right with you there. I am. But he announced his wages will only accommodate vaccinated passengers and crew. I think what we're going to see, when you get a vaccine, you get your first shot, you get this little card, and they put what shot you got and when you got it and verify you got the shot. Then you bring that card back, and if you lose it, don't worry about it. They'll give you a second one. If they have your record, they'll give you another one when you show up. But you have to keep that card. Remember this, folks. You have not been vaccinated yet. You're going to get this little card. You can put it in your wallet, put it in your purse, whatever. But keep that card. If you don't keep it on you, don't lose it. Because what I think is going to happen down the road, just like these cruise ships are going to be taking passengers only who have been vaccinated. Well, how do they know you've been vaccinated? We show them your proof of vaccination, and that's this card. So when you get this card, and everybody's going to get it when you show up for your shot, again, the nurse practitioner, whoever it is that gives you your injection, is going to fill it out and initial it, say what you got. A little card. It's wallet size. And then you get your second one. Don't lose that card, because there might come a time when things start opening up, which we're starting to see now, that you'll need to show this card to gain admissions to an airport, to a theater, to a cruise, to restaurants, who knows. But that's what we might be looking at. And, you know, I wondered, because things are loosening up. You know what? Speak about loosening up. What was I going to say? Think about
I've learned
loosening
to adjust to these pauses with you, Andy. I love it. I'm just waiting.
I was on a roll here. Was it?
It was a human vacuum cleaner.
That's not what it meant.
Okay.
Things should be opening up.
Open up.
Thank you. They should. Florida is, I mean, spring breakers are in Miami Beach. It is happening like nothing, no crisis ever happened. And the interesting thing is, Florida's had a no mask mandate unless, you know, private business wanted otherwise, but Florida has had a no mask mandate since almost the beginning of this thing. I mean, I think it opened up. And it's interesting. There's two caveats to this. They are right in the middle. Like, you know, New York and California is number one. California is right behind them. Is number two. All the states, obviously. Then Florida is right in the middle. It's not at the top. It's not at the bottom. It's kind of hanging in there. And they've never had a mask policy. Or they have, but the governor changed it and said, you don't know, all businesses are open, you don't need a mask, period. That's just the way it's going to be. Because we think this thing is not a threat. And the numbers are showing that, you know, they've had 34,000 deaths in Florida. The question is, would 30-some thousand people be living right now if they had that? I don't know. Mm. Nobody knows that. There's going to be an election in Florida, and I know some of the candidates are saying, well, you know, they're raising the question, well, maybe some of those 34,000 people wouldn't have died. Maybe, maybe not. We don't know the conditions and how and when those people became infected or what the situation was. But here's my point. Florida has a high humidity level, a lot of outdoor life, and environmentally does not favor the prolonged existence of the spike virus protein, the SARS virus, where it can live in the, you know, outside for any for a long period of time. New York is cold. You know, New York is cold. A lot of, you know, it favors indoor life. It favors indoor gatherings. Florida, in its natural state, favors outdoor gatherings in a more humid environment. So, you know, now if we had a no mask mandate, which many surprisingly were in favor of all along, you can't make me wear a mask. It's my right. How many people, excluding, you know, in New York, in the Midwest, here in California, I mean, the numbers are, there are tens of, I mean, God, the numbers of people who died are just off the radar. Can you imagine what those numbers would have been if we didn't have policies in place that prevented people from getting sick, getting infected?
Yeah.
So kudos to Florida. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm in dismay because the numbers aren't worse. Because I want the governor to get out of there, plus Placentis, whatever his name is there, Placenta. No, but Placentis. You know, great. It's great that their numbers are where they are. And there's been some concern because there's the parties, the spring breakers are down there, all the bars, restaurants, things are happening, beaches are crowded. I was a resident of Florida. I lived in Florida for quite some time, and Florida's a great place. I mean, it is. I enjoyed my life there. I got to tell you, I did. Not as much as Southern California, but in certain respects, well, I was a college student that lived there right after college. So, in certain respects, obviously, you know, it favored my existence at the time, being the age I was at the time, 12. Anyway, being a college student and then moving further down the coast, and also owned a business with an office in Fort Lauderdale and was there quite a bit. And I like Florida. Florida's very, very nice. And you know, I could see, you know, if you know, their life has been pretty much normal. I mean, people have taken upon themselves to be safe, you know?
Yes.
But aside from, I mean, some people, 34,000 people did die, you know? But anyway, I just want to mention that in the COVID, you know, program here, things are plateauing, and that could be a combination of the vaccine, that could be a combination of the message from the President of the United States, which we didn't have in the previous administration. All we had was talk about the stock market and opening up and the economy. And how the former president built the most notorious economy and the grandest economy this country has ever witnessed. And that is an outright lie. That is not true. The greatest economy, if you look it up, look at the numbers, we're back in the early 50s. Even though the economy and the dollar was different and the population was different and everything, if you take all that and make it and put it on the same playing field and establish a ratio, that was still the greatest economy in our nation's history. And and also, you say the greatest economy for who? But who was it the greatest economy for, you know, that he boasted about? That's another conversation, you know, who didn't fare out so well in that great economy that Trump built. But anyway, and now we have an amazing relief package being passed that was just signed, and money has been dispersed. If you have an online internet filing, a tax filing system, you're going to get money in your account. You'll be notified that the IRS deposited a $1,400 check in your account, or if you have family and kids, obviously more. And a spouse.
So the thing that pops into my mind, sweetheart, about this is, you know, what's popped into my mind about our UK government is they're providing all this funding for everybody, which is commendable, and we truly appreciate support our governments have given us. But ultimately, is this going to lead to other things brought in that's eventually going to cripple future generations with higher taxes and, you know, finding a way to retrieve the money that they've given to us in some way. That is my concern with all of this. And I know they've got to support us. They haven't got to, but they choose to support us in the most beautiful way right now, and we're all very grateful. But like I said, it's, you know, the worry is of future generations having to pay for all of this. So it's interesting to see how this is going to take place, because they're going to have to get their money back somehow, right?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I don't know. Sorry, Andy. I can only see it from tax purposes that they're going to raise the taxes here, which we know about anyway. I think I got covered that.
Your
on
taxes
a previous
are
show.
Ridiculous. Your taxes are ridiculous, you know. But they, you know.
I promised you nothing.
Except higher taxes. Thank you. Yeah, we got them. Your tax, we talked about that a week ago or so. I remember, no, more than that. It was a while back. But when we the taxes there, and maybe we'll dive back into that in another show. But I'm still in total utter shock when you told me the rate. We did talk about it. We talked about the income structure you have and how much tax is taken out, and that the very low amount of money you make to get an incredible amount of money taken out of that low amount to begin with, and how you survive on that beyond me. And we talked about the minimum wage here and people surviving on that. I remember we had a big discussion on that, folks. Go back a few episodes and tune in. It was a candid discussion about you know, just getting by in life and our tax structure and people who go out there and hold, you know, several jobs to put food on the table. And then you talk about low people who don't make a lot of money and how much tax is taken out of that. And the amount of that in the UK is surprisingly high. We thought we had it bad here. Holy smokes.
To be honest, Andy, I was just as shocked
Yeah, we went over all the numbers. We I remember in detail. I got a question for you, and let me bring this up just for a second.
Okay.
Seconds gone. I missed it. Sorry. Anyway, what I was going to say was, you have state-sponsored healthcare. In other words, you get sick, you need hospitalization, you need to see a doctor, you don't pay anything when you go into the office. Am I right about that?
That's correct. Yeah.
If I feel I'm really sick, something's happened. I'm have a, a stroke, a heart attack, or something else, whatever it might be. Can I get treatment right away? Can I go to the hospital, ER, bam, get seen, they wheel me into that ER, boom, if I need a procedure? Can I get that done right away, or do I have to get on a waiting list?
No, you can get that done pretty much straight away. The only problem is with our NHS system is now we're so crippled by the fact that so many hospitals were being shut down, and they claim to cut NHS funding for various reasons over the years. It's always been an ongoing battle in politics here with trying to win the public over, vote for us and we'll save our NHS. And so this has been an ongoing thing for a long time. And so they've said, we've got to cut funding for the NHS here and there because of this, 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 and this. And everybody's just been so frustrated by that. And then you've got the majority of people that think the NHS is pathetic because you can't get seen fast enough. And the problem is now that we've got many more people coming to live in our country now, which is just truly wonderful because we appreciate and love all the cultures, you know, and everybody should have a right to move to wherever they would like to move in the world. I think, that's the way I see things. And I love having various people here, but the problem is now where we've got more and more people entering our country, our NHS is starting to feel the strain of it. Doctors, waiting times to see a doctor now has increased, to get an appointment, it takes longer. So overall, our health system is struggling, and I think it's eventually going to lead to us having a privatized health system, Andy.
Wow. Wow. My
it's just
goodness.
Just a matter of time. Yeah.
Just a matter of time. The NHS has recently written a letter to local health organizations warning, in their view, of a significant reduction in the weekly supply of coronavirus vaccines from the 29th of March moving forward. I'm sure you're aware of that there. That's why we talked about this earlier, about what vaccines are available over there. And let's talk more about that, where that stands as we move ahead in future programs. I definitely want to keep an eye on that for sure.
Yes,
for sure. And what my point was about the healthcare, and what I wanted to get back in touch with just for a minute here, if we can, is that if I make, US $7 an hour, and X amount, whatever that amount is, that's taken out, a ludicrous amount is taken out of that $7 for taxes, right?
Yeah.
All right. So I am left with $5 or $6, whatever it might be. X. I'm left with X. I've got double X.
Yeah.
You take X amount out, and I got X. Right. Whatever the amount, fill in the blank. All right. Here's my point. That now I make $7 an hour, and you only take a little bit out, a little less than X, and sell I'm making $6.50.
Okay.
However, the equivalent of $1.50 or $2 or $3 of that $7 to pay my annual healthcare expense, whether it be a combination of my healthcare provider, co-pays, things that aren't covered, prescriptions that aren't covered, eyeglasses, vision, dentistry, whatever it means that's not covered. So out of that $7 an hour, I, you know, if here I'm going to pay a lot of tax, but I don't have any medical bills.
Yeah.
Right? Now I got $7 an hour. I do have medical bills, but when it comes, if we look at person A and person B, the person who paid their own medical expenses at the end of the day is left less. Is left with less money than the person in column A who had all those expenses paid for.
Yes.
That's the discussion. And if you're saying the difference, in other words, and I asked you, if I need to see a doctor for something, I want to make a doctor's appointment, can I call any doctor, call anybody, for whatever the reason, whether it's somebody for a cold, a splinter I can't get out, a dermatology something, a headaches that won't go away, whatever, you know, anything, any ailment, you make it, you know, a bike injury, what I fell, you know, I got lower back pain. We talked with Mark Lester, I got lower back pain. I can't get rid of it. I can call a doctor and I don't have to open my wallet when I get there.
Yeah.
Here you do.
Of course. I know you have to do that there.
And not only do you, but you do big time. You do big time. The cost of healthcare here is amazing. It's incredible. So yeah. I don't know. And I'm just putting it out for food for thought. Again, our number is 515-605-9888. We'd love to hear your opinions. Because I'm not saying I have one, you know, opinion versus the other. I'm just putting out the scenarios. What do you think, folks? I mean, it's food for thought. You know what? I don't know.
Apparently, you know, if you work here, you can see a doctor free. You don't pay for the doctor's appointment, okay? Mm-hmm. However, when you are given a prescription because you are working and you're not seen as needing as much help as someone who's not in work, who's on some sort of benefit for whatever reason that may be, then you have to pay for your medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to your pharmacy, obviously you hand over your prescription that the doctor's giving you. You got to sign on the back that, you know, you've got to pay for that medicine, and boom, you pay it there and then, you take your medicine away. Sorted. And but there is also, you can get help from the NHS if you struggle to be able to pay for that cost. I think they give you a certificate. I think they call it a HC2 certificate, and they're issued to people who can qualify for full help with health costs through an NHS low income scheme. So you do get help if you struggle to pay. So it's going to be interesting if we do go to privatize healthcare, because I think that's going to cripple this country dramatically. And it'd have to be a gentle transfer somehow. I mean, I know in Europe, if you go to Holland, you have to pay, I think, for a healthcare system just like you do in the US. I don't know what the differences are, but you still have to do that over there. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting, and I think the comparison is really interesting, Andy.
It is. I mean, I'm sure it's been debated and talked about and discussed. We've talked about it on our show. It's been talked about a lot on other shows, and we'll continue to do so, because it's just kind of it's just interesting. And it, you know, I love to dive in and you know, put food for thought out there, you know, without really expressing an opinion one way or another, because most often I don't have an opinion. I'm just Andy on the Andy Minder Show. I play guitar. What can I say? Anyway, I was going to say that there's other news here in this country. We just had another mass shooting in Atlanta, where an individual went to some massage spas, and targeted Asian people, several women, five people were killed. And I'm not going to give his name out, because there's no reason to publicize this sick individual. If you need to know who it was, I don't know why you would. But if anybody wants to know, just look it up on Google News, whatever it is, and you can see who it is. But anyway, so he did. They arrested this individual, and so he went to several massage spas, health spas, whatever you call them, and targeted Asians and killed them, five of them, and left a couple people injured.
Oh my goodness!
There's eight dead. eight dead now, eight people dead.
Oh, that's awful.
There's some very, shall we say, not well mentally, people call them. Where's the Donald Trump clip? These people are sick. I mean, there's some sick people out there. There's some really, take a gun and go. And I think what's going to happen is it should, because he targeted a particular ethnic group, it should be treated as a hate crime, and the penalties upon conviction are far more severe than if it weren't a hate crime. Although anybody who kills somebody is obviously going to get, if they're convicted, there's going to be a price to pay for sure, and there should be. Anyway, we'll see what happens with that, and it's a tragedy, and my heart goes out to the people and their families who are affected by that in Atlanta, Georgia.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Bless
so anyway,
you.
Man. Let's talk about some serious news.
What is your porn fantasy, man?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of which I'm not going to answer.
I didn't think you would.
I do have an answer. It's the same one that I had on a very early show. I don't know if you remember, Andy, when we would go back and we were talking about this. This is when we had Lloyd and Uncle Ike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're like, what's your porn fantasy? I was like, to be good at what I do. Yeah.
Wait, hold up. Wait a minute.
Yeah, that's my only answer.
Ever put your life in another man's hands?
Hmm?
No.
Thank you.
I have been able to, yeah.
I know,
my darling. What about you? Yeah. Same question.
No, I haven't.
No?
I actually haven't. Oh. You know why?
Why is that? Why?
Because
China doesn't like me too much.
I like that.
It's got quite a rhythm to that. It's like you can almost put that into a song. Yeah,
definitely. But, so I remember we asked you that question early. To get on the Andy Demander show, we ask everybody that question. No, we don't. We don't ask people that question. Early on, I think we actually did. Early on, I think we asked that question more, I think. It's very cool. We'll get back into that again. But anyway, didn't we ask more of our guests those types of questions early on? I remember doing that,
We did.
God, I thought you missed those days. But now we're orienting the show to go soon on regular radio, hopefully, or Sirius XM or some provider that gets us, in addition to our internet show, on a radio show. We've had to tame our approach, unfortunately, but maybe we'll see. We don't know. We'll see. This is the end of the show.
Somebody might like what we do and say, oh well, yeah, I fully support this,
after all,
I was born to do this.
Yes.
Well,
and
I feel that way too.
We're doing the Andy and Amanda show here. We're broadcast live on this internet radio network called blogtalkradio.com, Blog Talk Radio, and you can look at our website on Blog Talk at blogtalkradio.com/Andy and Amanda show. And you'll find we have 200 some odd episodes out there now. We've talked about all sorts of topics and subjects, everything from news to life to our own existence and, relationships and love and sex and love and more sex and more love and sex.
It just seems to keep coming back to all of that, doesn't it? What happened with the boat?
Oh, I saw it. I did see the boat. It's a great, it's a terrific boat. It's got a bunch of gear on it, which is great for if you're going to go traveling the world and off seas, a wind generator and a hydroelectric generator and an 11-foot long dinghy, that sits on the back of the boat up on a dinghy davits with a big outboard motor on the back, which I'm surprised this boat floats with all the weight on the back. But anyway, it's a great boat. It looks great. It shows great. It's got a lot of gear on it that I don't know if I need. And I like the boat a lot. It's still sitting there. It's not sold, obviously, and I do have an interest in this boat. For those of you who know, I'm looking at buying a sailing yacht. But anyway, and Amanda's been so supportive in my quest to do this. But anyway, Amanda, yeah, to answer your question. I like the boat a lot. I might look, and I can get into the boat for, you know, it's listed at one price. I can get into it for much lower price. Well, not much lower, but yeah, lower.
Yeah.
I mean, quite a bit lower. But anyway, that doesn't make it the right fit for me. But we'll see. I like it. I mean, it's got air conditioning and an autopilot and bow thruster and electric winches and all these things that I like a lot. You know, full galley, which is a kitchen, and electric heads, you know, toilets, and you know, nice things. Like, three cabins, three sleeping cabins, a big main saloon, wherever it is, and you know, entertaining area. You know, it's saloon. It's got a great bar. It's 50 feet long, just short of 50 feet long and 14 and a half foot wide at the beam. And the beam goes all the way back to the stern. So it's got, you know, real roomy cockpit. I like the boat. Hey, you know,
amazing.
This show, you know, the talk about this for a second. For those of you who don't know, I'm actually a licensed California yacht breaker. A yacht breaker? Yeah, I break boats. I break boats. I'm licensed to do it.
You know.
James Bond had a license to kill. I've got a license to break boats, so don't mess. You know what I'm saying?
Take some ages, Preston.
I do. I can go out and sink them. You know, I better not see you on a boat, and you see me come and run the other way. you know what I mean?
Are our captain.
So I am a licensed. What do you call? I'm a licensed. I can't even know what I am. What am I? I'm a licensed California yacht broker, and I have, in addition to playing guitar, I've dabbled in the yacht brokerage and yacht sales business and life on the water and lived on the water, and it's a very big part of my passion and who I am and what I like to present. This amazing passion, this amazing life that just opens up so many doors and possibilities, and it's a hell of a lot less expensive to buy and own a boat on the water than it is a piece of real estate. And of course, you don't gain the same benefits financially as you might in buying a house, but I'll tell you, the rewards are numerous just having that life on the water, and to the point where, in my opinion, you can't put a price tag on it. And people say, wow, the happiest days in a yacht owner's life is when the day they buy the boat and the day they sell the boat. And for most, that is so far from the truth. There are hundreds of thousands of boat owners in America and millions around the world and who are out there enjoying their life on the water and their adventure and their boats, whether it be sail or power. And why am I getting into this? Because Blog Talk Radio, in my world, came into an existence through a program that I hosted and might go back into again called Boat Talk Live with Andy Kimball. We have guests and talk all about owning boats, yacht ownership, buying, selling boats, life aboard, cooking, having your pet on board, you know, docking procedures, emergencies at seas, all these different things that we talked about on our show that I hosted called Boat Talk Live. And what fun,
yeah.
You know? Yeah, really. And wouldn't it be cool if Amanda and I, I've got these other program things that we've been talking about, the possibilities and shows that we might do in the future. It would be cool to have Amanda, you know, co-host Boat Talk Live with me. It would be cool. I think it would be cool to have. Have you ever owned a boat?
No. I don't know how useful I would be to you, Andy.
But do you know your way around a boat? Would you be able to field questions from callers about boat ownership and life on board?
I could probably manifest some questions, sure. But I don't know much about it, but I could.
Perfect. That makes two of us. We'd be perfect hosts for this show.
I can say like I do. I can be.
Yeah. Well, Jim, I've got this question about the Yanmar diesel engine that keeps. Well, let me tell you, Jim, I think Amanda is more authority in that expertise in that field. Amanda, let's talk about that Yanmar 110 horsepower engine that the guy's got on his boat. He keeps hiccuping. What should he do?
I think you should just give it some full thrust.
Men, the way that you thrust has a great deal of influence over not just how good sex is for your partner, but also how quickly you will find yourself finishing.
You know what? You're probably right. Your answers are probably more adequate and more correct than some of the so-called experts. I got news for you, you know, really, you know. So think about boat owners. And they're all, you know, everybody's get proud of their boat and proud of what they've done on their boat. And they've done this, they've added this, they've handled this problem. And, everybody, there's so many boat owners out there that pound their chest. Yeah, let me tell you how I did it and what you might want to do. And I don't know. Who knows what you – but it's so much fun. It's so much fun. Hank, you know, in the airplane business, we used to go to the airports and, you know, hang out when I was taking flying lessons, when I was a flight instructor and all that way back when. How many careers have you had, Andy? Anyway, we used to call it hangar talk. You know, the weather might be bad, but, you know, inside everybody's talking about their stories and their trips and their plane and what they did and what they, you know, what accomplishments and how they did this and made this airy approach and all this kind of stuff. And their airplanes and their flight instructor and all this. And we used to call it hangar talk. But we have hangar talk in the boat, you know, life on board business too, where everybody sits around these boat owners. But usually, unlike the aviation business, the boat business, everybody has their hangar talk at the dock with their blenders running. The margaritas are blowing, the beers, you know, going, the barbecues are lit, and we're all sitting there talking about our boats. And it's what a life, I got to tell you.
Wow.
It's a great life. It's a great life. Anyway.
So,
yes.
I like it.
So what is it all about?
Do we know? Boat in the boat? What's it all
about? Anything. What's it all about? Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Bravo, bravo. Yes. That's got to be the most common question right now, isn't it, that the world is facing? What's it all about?
It is. It is.
Yeah.
You know, for all the right reasons, I think. For all the right reasons. It truly is. It really is. It really is. So what else is in the news? You know, what else should we talk about here? We talked about the Atlanta. Something I want to talk about. I forgot to talk about. My hand's raised. Can I say, Andy? Yes, go ahead.
You may. Please, Andy.
Thank you.
Please be.
I forgot to mention this because it's you know, peaking in the news here in the U.S. is Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York. Now, those of you around the world probably saw news clips or live videos or, you know, new press conferences by the governor of New York when he came on almost on a daily basis to address the COVID virus months ago when it was peaking and the death toll was significantly higher than it is right now. And, you know, I'm not belittling the crisis now because it's far from over, but Cuomo was in the forefront of, you know, putting policies in effect in his state with masks and wanting more assistance from the federal government and blah, 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 and ventilators and what was going on and how they're – you know, he was in the news all the time. And, you know, people gave him a much higher regard and much more respect than our own president, you know, the governor of New York. And he was on regularly in addressing the citizens of New York and, in fact, the citizens of the country and, in many ways, the citizens of the world. I mean, everybody knows New York, you know, and Cuomo is the governor of New York. Well, many women, I think seven now, have come out and accused him of a form of harassment, of sexual harassment. And to the point where they're appointed a attorney general to investigate the matter. And now they're saying that Cuomo was this is reportedly involved in writing of a letter in his inner circle that was passed around to former staffers aimed at tarnishing one of his accusers by the name of Lindsay Bolin, tarnishing her credibility after she accused the governor of sexual harassment and repeated unwanted advances. According to that report, according to the New York Times, and again, this is reported, suggested that Bolin's accusations were premeditated and politically motivated. It reportedly revealed personnel complaints filed against her and attempted to link her to supporters of former President Donald Trump. You know, what he said was weaponizing, and this is interesting, weaponizing a claim, and I'm going to comment on this in a minute. Again, we don't make the news. We say what's out there and comment whether you want to hear it or not. I don't want to hear it, frankly, and how you want to hear it. I would if I were you. Anyway, but you know, you're tuning into the show. I can't even believe that. But anyway, weaponizing a claim of sexual harassment for personal – this is what they claim. Weaponizing a claim of sexual harassment for personal political gain or to achieve notoriety cannot be tolerated, the letter concluded. False claims demean the veracity of credible claims. And the initial idea really again, this is from the New York Times, was to have former Cuomo aides, particularly women, sign the letter before releasing it more publicly. One of those sources said Cuomo was directly involved with the letter itself. And current aides to Cuomo emailed the draft of the letter to former advisors before it was circulated more widely to current and former top aides of the governor. And the letter was never – I don't see it anywhere. I'm pretty sure the letter was – to my knowledge, was never publicly released. So his aide, Lindsay Boland, is 36 years old, the former aide to Cuomo, was the first of more than now six, I think it's seven, accusers to go public, writing an essay on the website Medium last month in which he quoted Cuomo as saying to her, "Let's play strip poker," kissing him without consent. And Boland is running as a candidate to be a borough president of Manhattan in New York City. So we got to see how that pans out and if there is any political motivation behind that.
Wow.
We don't know.
Ooh. Yes.
We don't know. We don't know. Well, we do know the accuser. We obviously know that he's been accused. But here's – I think we touched upon this briefly previously. And here's my feeling. I am a very strong advocate – not advocate, the anti-advocate. I'm not an advocate of abuse in the workplace. wait a minute. What's the
okay, good to know, Andy. Good to know.
I just want to make that very clear. So I'm an advocate. I'm anti-abuse, period. We know that. We've talked about that many times. Seriously. And in the workplace, it will not be – should not be tolerated. It will not be tolerated. It should not be. And, of course –
I agree.
It's been an issue and something we've had to get – especially women. And you know something? There's been – men have been harassed and abused by women in the workplace too and by men. You know, and women by women and women by men and men by women and blah, blah, blah. But, of course, it's been brought – and that's much lower numbers, but I could cite – I mean, was I ever confronted uncomfortably? Actually, I've – yes, now I think about it. When I was a flight instructor, when I was 21 years old, a woman just a few years older than me was making advances to me because I was just so adorably cute and I was a flight instructor. No, if I were a woman, I would have made advances too. So justly so, this woman, I don't blame her, made those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end. Anyway, I robbed you know what I'm saying? But anyway, no, seriously, we know how I feel about this, but here's it's horrible, and men, it's been more in the news, the unacceptable behavior of men harassing women to the extent that I just said, necessarily what Cuomo did, but things like that. You're saying conversation touches, kisses, unwanted touches, unwanted advances. I'm a, what you call demonstrative person. I like to hug. I put my arm. I pat backs. I do that all the time. That's just who I am. I'm a hugger. I mean, if I don't know you that well, we're having a conversation. We might laugh at something, and I might put my hand or touch you on the shoulder, or put my arm around you or something. It's done in that. That's just who I am. You shouldn't touch. You should. Unwanted advances. Bullshit. I mean, there's a point where you draw the line, and come on, But do you know what I'm saying? Like let's say if I didn't know you well, we're having a good time, we're out, you're a friend of mine, or you're introduced by a friend of mine, and we're talking and having a good time, we're laughing about something, and I patted you on the back, and said, hey, or something like that. I mean, would you say, oh, he touched me, unwanted advance, You know what I'm saying? Is that an unwanted advance in that situation, in that scenario? Would you consider that, ooh, he touched me, ooh, that was unwanted?
I think it gets drummed into women's heads, definitely, the dangers, because we're always hearing about women being attacked, and we're always warned by our parents, whenever we leave the house, be careful, stay safe, be careful who you come into interaction with. And unfortunately... Mm-hmm. It's such a very real situation, and it makes women panic and feel insecure about what's happening. So when, you've got a friendly boss, I've had a friendly boss, he used to tap me on the arm or whatever, and I'd be like, I didn't think too much into it. But of course, somebody else would feel like, oh, that's not
that's not right. Surely you shouldn't be allowed to touch me. That makes me feel awkward and I'm not sure about this. And then they start building up these ideas in their mind, like, oh, I better stay away from him, or I better be careful. And you start building up these fears and anxieties, and eventually they can lead to accusations. But that's not to say that doesn't go on. Obviously, there are people in the work environment who do get touchy-feely, and then it just escalates into becoming even more touchy-feely. And of course, in those situations, then obviously step up. Mm-hmm. But to jump on one experience, or, you know, some people are not even confident enough to go up to their boss and say, look, I hope you don't take this the wrong way. I'm not very comfortable with you touching my arm or tapping me on the shoulder. Please don't take, you know, offense to that. It's just that, you know.
That would be appropriate. That would be appropriate.
Yeah. I think that's the best way to go.
If somebody felt that way, then they should speak up and feel that way.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, and I'm just again, I'm putting stuff out there. I'm saying I feel one way or another. But of course, I'm anti harassment and obvious advances. I'm anti that when it's not wanted. I've had women going in the car, colleagues and friends who I knew through work experiences. I'm in the car together, and a woman will put their I'm driving or something. A woman puts their hand on my leg. You know what I'm saying?
Cool.
Yeah, it's
really hard.
Yeah, but anyway, the but seriously, the here's my question. So let's say this is a scenario, and again, I want to make it clear, I'm not justifying any behavior here. I'm just putting scenarios out, and we're having discussion. And that's all. That you're in a workplace and a guy or a girl, just a person, of the opposite sex or the same, whatever it could be, what I'm saying? Just another person. Like you were just saying, I'm going to go more extreme than that. I'm going to go more extreme. Okay. You're a girl and a man in the office makes an obvious sexual advance.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Now, they could report it that this person made a sexual advance. They can, file a complaint. They can maybe make an attempt to get the person fired.
Mm.
And couldn't they also say, man, Frank, whatever else to say, hypothetically, his name's Frank. Frank, I like you, great. We have fun together. And also, but please don't do that. I'm just not into that. So, no, the answer is no. I'm not into it. I'm happily engaged, married, friend, or not otherwise not interested in that. So I just want to be clear.
Yeah.
And, I don't want that, what I just said, to interfere in a relationship because, we're great colleagues, great friends, but I'm not. Just so you know, please refrain from that behavior with me. That's all. That's okay. End of discussion. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Is there anything wrong with that?
No, there isn't. I think for women, I guess they feel more vulnerable to approach a male boss and say, it could even be a female boss. I mean, let's face it, it goes both ways. That they just don't feel confident enough to work with them and say, I really don't like it when you do this in the way I've just explained. I guess they're frightened they could lose their job or their boss will turn against them and start treating them differently and outcasting them. There's all sorts of fears, right, that can pop up to the surface. So that can make you very hesitant with speaking your truth. But I think if it bothers you that much and it's affecting your work and wanting to be at work, then I would say approach them and say, have that conversation. Like, just be gentle about it. I hope you don't mind, but, I just feel a little uncomfortable with this. And, no offense. And see how it goes.
But, yeah. But I just wonder how, and I don't want to make light of it. Believe me, I do not want to make light of it. Don't interpret this as something for it's not. But I wonder how much of this? It's in the forefront. It's in the news. Cuomo, you have seven women. I mean, that's an issue. When you're talking about six or seven accusers independently who've now said, "Oh yeah, he did that to me too," in one way or whatever that was, he did that to me too.
Yeah.
He said that to me too. And then he comes in and says, "Look," he came on and said, "What did he say?" He said,
"Listen, this is the way it is."
Yeah. no, No, but anyway, he pretty much said that he never, you know, he never touched anybody inappropriately. He never, you know, if he said things that were interpreted that way, he's, you know, outside of whatever, he's apologetic and blah, blah, blah. But yeah. He's a governor of the state of New York. He's a man of power. You know, he's power. You're an aide. You work for him. You're an employee or whatever. And this man of great power comes up and starts making these advances and says these things. And he's Andrew Cuomo, for God's sake. Whoa. You know, it's just total. You've got to, when you're in that, you're in a position of power. You know what? Here, I'm just, again, this is what we do on the show. I'm thinking out loud. You're hearing Andy think. Like, Andy, you actually think? Anyway, occasionally, not often, occasionally. But here's because again, you know,
I was born to do this.
Mm-hmm, yes, as I said. but anyway, a man of that or woman of that magnitude in life of power lives in a different set of rules than just some. Wait a minute. No, that's not right. There are no set of rules. The rules are the rules. You shouldn't be abusive. You shouldn't do anything that's going to harass or insult or intimidate anybody in any respect. I don't care who you are. I don't care what walked in life. But here's the thing. That being said, there's no excuses, no tolerance for that anywhere. I don't even care if it's a marriage. You know, husbands have been accused of raping their wife, and that's actually happened. There's been trials, there's been hearings. All right, so there's no excuse for that anywhere in any walk, any instance of life. Especially I'm a dad of two daughters. You know what I'm saying? So there's no anyway, there's no words. So that being said, when you're in a position of incredible power and people look up to you and you know there you are and then you come onto an aide in that way, you know, a sexual an advance that is interpreted as being a sexual advance, remember Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton, the intern?
Yeah.
Remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
So you know what I'm getting at here? The when you have a tremendous, let's say you're a huge rock star, let's go back, 10 years, and there's a 14-year-old girl and Justin Bieber, who's this incredible, everybody was having heart problems about Justin Bieber. Remember those days way back? That let's say you're 15 or 16 years old and you get to be in the presence of Justin Bieber, and he's Justin Bieber, and he makes an advance. Whoa, this person of great celebrity, of great perceived power, of great whatever, and he makes an advance because he feels he's entitled to, because he feels he can.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He feels he's entitled to do that. There might be a sense of entitlement that comes along with the role of somebody being in great power, and they think that they can.
Yeah, and I think I agree with you. That's when the manipulation comes in, then the threats, of course, that don't say anything to anyone.
they'll make a shot. They'll see what they can. They'll see in a quick glimpse, in a quick bam, in and out. No pun intended. They want to see what they want to see what they can get away with.
They want to do it very quickly.
Yeah, very quickly. Very quickly.
Yeah.
And
it's quite scary.
They want to see what they can. You know, where is the line? Where is that? You cross this line, you die. Where's that line?
Yeah, I think they've got the whole, well, like you said about the power thing as well. It's kind of like, well, I've got this power and I've got this play and I can manipulate other people of power to believe that I haven't done anything wrong. I can get away with this. I can do this to these women. I can just cover it up. I can make it go away. That's what scares me, because there's plenty of people like that out there that do these things and use their power to their own benefit and the people they know, their connections and cover all these things up, and these poor girls don't stand a chance, and then these girls are made to look like they're trash, that they're trying to get some sort of attention or money out of these people to exploit them and just give them a bad name. And it's awful, absolutely awful. And that's not to say that there aren't women out there who would do those types of things. It takes all sorts of people in this life to make the world go round, and these things do happen with women.
You know, we're not all innocent. You know, we don't all walk around with a halo on our head. It works both ways, you know. There's an element of women who do that. It's finding the truth amongst the chaos, isn't it, really?
It is. Excuse me one sec. Excuse me one second.
No problem.
I feel better. Thank you. Now, what was I saying? They do. Yeah. Whatever you just said, I agree. Yeah.
I can tell you're
right.
Really listening, you know.
Yes. No, seriously, you're right. I'm on board. But I just want – we're going to monitor this story, and it'll be interesting to see. You know, Cuomo's been asked to resign.
Okay.
And there's even talk of impeachment.
Right.
And, you know, you know something? Chris Christie, former governor of New Jersey, who's a commentator on ABC News with George Stephanopoulos and other, you know, things they bring him in for. I like the guy. He's a Republican, from a former governor of New Jersey, and a great Bruce Springsteen fan and advocate. Anyway, aside from that, he said this, and I love what he said. And I've really become to – as governor, he did some things, and there's talk about what he did. And I'm not going to talk about that now. It was years ago. But anyway, I don't want to change the topic here. But things that he did when he was governor of New Jersey that were very questionable and raised a lot of question, and he did not win. You know, he left office, and he's been a news commentator or guest commentator on ABC News. But anyway, I've liked him a lot. I got to be honest with you. Republican advocate, and for the most part, but he calls it the way it is. This is the way it is. Whether he's in favor of it, of something or a subject area or that they're talking about, in terms of his ideology and his beliefs or not, even if something is come up by, you know, proposed by Democrats and proposed this, and he's a sound idea, then you know what? He's a Republican, but he says, you know, that I'm for that, and here's why. And we played his, he was very severely stricken with coronavirus and was put in ICU, and we played his PSAs on this show. Maybe we'll play it on, I guess we're running out of time, but he came out and we played his thing about, you know, folks, I was wrong. He came out, you know, questioning whether you should wear a mask, how serious the thing is. And after his hospitalization, he came out very strongly and did a message, which we again have played on the show and will do in the future, advocating the use of a mask. And he admits he was wrong. But what he did say was this. And I don't have it in front of me. I don't have the quote in front of me. But what he did say was that when Trump was brought into question regarding his behavior around women and the accusations were made regarding Trump and things that he said and did and how inappropriate he may or allegedly was with women, and Governor Chris Christie came out and said, you know, what about innocent until proven guilty? I mean, anybody can say anything. Does that mean it's true? We've talked about that in philosophy earlier in the show. Just what means something is true? What creates agreement? I don't want to go there either, but we have touched upon it and will again. But somebody says something, accuses somebody of something. Does that mean it's true? Hey, he did this to me. Well, you said he did or she did. Did they? What if after all the investigations, you were like, just what they're saying now in this letter, which is yet to be circulated, that we just talked about with Chris Cuomo. So this is what Christie said. As I stated, when the same allegations were presented regarding Donald Trump, I say the same thing now. These are allegations. They have yet to be proven. I'm not going to come down and say he impeached, resigned, because we have to see if it occurred or it didn't occur. We don't know if it did or not. Let's let it pan out. Let's let the investigations play out. And then people in opposition to him will come out and say, no, there's no tolerance for this. See, you should resign. He's going to be impeached. See, these women came out and said he did this. But what if what they say didn't – I'm not saying he didn't say something or do something which may have had an interpretation of being a certain way. But what if, quite honestly, what he said was in jest, was like you and I said earlier in the show, was not – because we don't know the context. We don't know the environment. We don't know anything All we know is women came out and said, he did this. He said this. He asked me this. But well, now for the rest of the story. But why don't we wait and just see how the investigations pan out to see what the full scope of the situation was and how this manifested itself and if it happened and how they said it happened. Because all we know is he was accused. And I'm not giving credence. I'm not giving validation. I'm not giving acceptance. Obviously, I'm hoping I spend enough time saying how anti I am any of that behavior. And again, you know, I'm anti that behavior in every scope of life, right? I am.
Yeah.
But at the same time, shouldn't we just let investigations play out? And if this guy is been proven that the investigations, which there are investigations by the Attorney General of New York, and they're investigating this, and if they come out and say, you know what, it was inappropriate, then you know what, God damn it. Yes, not only should he resign, be impeached, but maybe there might be a possibility of some other charges. I don't know. Again, I don't know the scope of it, but I'm saying if he did that, then God damn right he should resign or be impeached. Damn right he should.
Yes.
But do we know the full magnitude or scope of what the accusers say to be true? We don't know. So let's not just jump on this saying, guilty, guilty, guilty. Yeah. And he may have been guilty. And from what I'm seeing and what these women said, damn right, if he did these things, he's guilty. But let's just let the investigations pan out. That's all I'm saying.
I agree with you.
Yeah, there we go. See, this is the Andy Demander show, you know? You know, 515-605-9888 if you want to chime in on the few minutes left we have of this discussion. If you're listening now after the show, you're hearing us on a podcast on iHeartRadio, on iTunes, on Pandora, on Spotify, on Blog Talk, on Vision News Podcast. I mean, excuse me for not knowing all of them. Tune in radio, all of them. We are – I guess I should have a list in front of me so I don't make this a fool of myself regarding our distribution channels. But we are distributed by quite a few providers of podcast distribution, and our numbers are growing all over the world, especially in the United States and in the U.K. and in Germany and in Italy and in France and in South America and South Africa, all over the place. But we want to thank our listeners around the world for chiming in our discussions. And – Because we don't listen to us after we hang up for sure. Thank you everybody.
Absolutely. We're so grateful for support and I would say the love, but we don't really hear from many people. We just know that you listen.
Why? Because there's never any
time for sex.
Damn well, right. You know that's why.
I wouldn't blame them for doing that instead of listening to us, you know.
That's what we've been saying. That's what we've been saying all along. That's what we've been saying all along. Yeah. And our audience agrees with us. Yes.
Yeah, they do. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, we're quite
lovely audience.
They are so lovely. They've been so kind.
Right? So gracious.
Mm-hmm.
So we love you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for making us feel appreciated.
We do love you. We love you. We do. Yes. And thank you, folks. We do, folks. We really appreciate everybody tuning into to the Andy and Amanda show. And, everybody's entitled to...
It's going to have good sex for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm. Everybody is.
In the safest, most respectable manner, right, guys?
when it comes right down to it...
The conversation we just had.
Yes. Especially after the conversation.
Yes.
But I want everybody to know you're always welcome to the Andy Amanda show, and you're always welcome.
I am Dracula, and I welcome you to my house.
His house too? You know, Mar's house? He has been this whole show. He's always been so kind to us. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a guy.
But So Amanda, everything's going well there with you, right? Everything's good?
Yeah, I cannot complain. I'm still happy and healthy and enjoying working on this show with my wonderful co-host, Andy Gimbel. And so, life is good. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't complain. And even if I would, nobody would listen. So, you know.
Do you know what I'm excited about?
What's that?
Doggy style for sure.
No.
okay.
No, I'm excited about Friday's show. When we're going to have none other.
Yes.
I don't know if you heard that drum roll. None other than the pioneer of FM radio, one of the early pioneers of FM rock and roll radio, none other than the great, talented, experienced Michael Pearson. from Philadelphia, pioneer of contemporary rock and roll radio and FM dials.
First votes of the 1972 presidential election campaign are in, all 17 of them, and 11 went to President Nixon in the New Hampshire Republican primary. In the Democratic primary, Edmund Muskie got 5 votes and George McGovern got 1. The voting was in Dixville Notch, New Hampshire, a small town near the Canadian border, which every 4 years is the first town to cast its votes in the first presidential primary.
Back in the 60s and 70s, a guy I listened to when I was in high school and later on in life became friendly with, and what an honor, what a great guy, just a terrific guy. He knows everything about all music like you wouldn't believe. He's a walking encyclopedia of rock and roll, and he's interviewed so many amazing, incredible, you know, famous rock and roll stars on his radio shows. Look up Michael Tierson, T-E-A-R-S-O-N, Tierson. He's going to be our guest. We're going to speak to him at length on the Friday Freaky, what's it called, the Free Flow and Freaky Friday show on the Andy Manda program here. Michael Tierson, this is a show, well, you don't want to miss any of our shows. You know, you might want to fast forward or rewind, but we've had a lot of real fun, interesting talk, great discussion, intriguing thought, and food for thought. On our shows, and we don't have an agenda. It's not scripted. It's not like, well, today we're going to talk about, unless we decide beforehand, you know, next week let's talk about this. And you've heard us say that sometimes we do have an idea where we might want to go. Sometimes we don't get to touch on those ideas, and the show goes in different directions. The point being that the Andy and Amanda show is completely improv. There's no script. We talk about, you know, whatever the headlines are, dive into those headlines to a point we want to talk about different things. And you folks are really a fly on the wall, I think, and hopefully tuned in. We'd like more people to call the show. You're invited to.
Yeah.
Or email the show. If tell us you listen. We've had emails at the Andy and Amanda show at gmail.com. We have YouTube videos up, and we're all over the place in podcasts and here on Blog Talk Radio, and we're looking to grow the show and grow what we do and get more people involved in supporting what we do. And we'll talk about that support later on too. But anyway, so that being said, I wish everybody a happy remainder of their day or evening or morning, wherever you are on the globe. And Amanda, you know what to do.
Yes, I do, my darling. So on behalf of Andy Kimball in the wonderful and amazing Hollywood and myself, Amanda Love, in the UK, thank you so much for being here with us and listening to us waffle on about everything we care about. And you maybe don't care, but thank you for listening anyway. And,
I don't know why I would care. Yeah, I don't know why I would.
We hope you join us on Friday and listen to us waffle on even more, but with some amazing guests. So thank you again, and take care and be safe. Keep smiling and, you know, stay safe.
Thanks for listening, folks. We'll see you Friday. Take care.
Bye.